Welcome to a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast. Today we can teleport, but go blind for 10 seconds after each use, and we are only reliant on heat vision to see.
Yeah. For any of you confused, Zach is reading Super Fight cards.
Yes.
And those are our powers today.
Yeah, those are our powers today. We are planning on doing something really cool with Super Fight later on, but we're pretty excited but exhausted. We just got back from Austin, Texas at the RTX. I know they've said in the past it's not literally called the Rooster Teeth Expo, but it's just RTX.
We'll just refer to it as RTX, since that's literally what everybody knows it as.
Yeah.
By the way, this is episode 16 of the Z2 Podcast.
And we are different levels of energy. Zach got sick.
Yeah, I got con plague. Which is the first time this has, like, ever happened to me. So I'm just like, oh, please kill me.
I've been up since, like, 5 in the morning, and I also just got back from Fort Collins. So it's about an hour.
Probably a good thing I didn't
20
go.
20-minute drive to get back here to record. And, yeah, we have news today. So, like I said, we went to RTX, and for any of you who have no idea who Rooster Teeth is, they're essentially, like, I always call them, like, an entertainment mongol now.
I call them, the grandfathers of web production.
Yeah.
Because they were YouTube before YouTube.
Yeah, Rooster Teeth got their start in 2004, I want to say.
They started with 2003 with Red versus Blue.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's
2004.
I can't remember the exact date they formed the company. But
April 1st. That's the anniversary.
True. That's right.
But so, yeah, we just got so Rooster Teeth has produced so many different shows. They've made Red versus Blue, which is a Machinima series. They've done a lot of 2D animation with Camp Camp, X-Ray and Bab. They made a feature length movie with Laser Team. They've essentially made an anime called Ruby, RWBY, that is just incredible beyond measures. For those of you that like Fables, you would really dig Ruby.
Yeah, it has all four of the main characters are all based on fairy tale characters. Like, there's Red Riding Hood, Goldilocks, Snow White, and Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, and all the characters have some sort of historical significance as well as that fairy tale link to them. I actually got to check out a preview for Volume 4 when I was at the convention. I waited in line for 4 hours, and I made a ton of new friends. Rooster Teeth has also made a card game called Million Dollars Butt,
which we're gonna play that at some point too.
Yeah, I played that in line a ton, and it was a lot of fun.
Such a fun game.
So, yeah, RTX was so amazing. Getting to see people that I followed on the internet since I was like in middle school.
Yeah, it's how we formed our friendship.
Yeah,
because this is a story that I don't tell many people, but when I first met Zach, I hated his guts. I thought he was obnoxious. I didn't like him. And then he brought up Red versus Blue. I'm like, you watched Red versus Blue too? And being a new, both of us being from out of state before that, we were instantly bonded over that and have been friends ever since.
Yeah, little 14-year-olds can't get along, anyways.
True story.
So, Red versus Blue. It's one of the long. Other than like Homestar Runner, which will release occasional episode.
I think Homestar is technically dead.
Are they?
I don't think they technically make any, like, I would say the longest, Red versus Blue is the longest running.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Red versus Blue is the longest running web series. And, yeah, it's 14 seasons in now, and it's always incredible. And literally the
latest episode was just something completely new that we haven't seen before them.
Yeah.
For them doing.
Animated episode. Yeah, RTX was tons of fun, though, and the reason why the Super Fight decks, I just recently got them back from a friend. I saw the booth at RTX, and I'm like, I really want us to play Super Fight again, and we could turn it into, like, an episode or something.
Yeah.
So we're eventually going to do that with a couple of friends. We're thinking about collaborating with other people. Maybe we get John back or some other people. And let me tell you, I'm excited. I haven't played this game since college.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've actually gotten to utilize this deck.
Yeah. Also, highlights. I was just gonna say, RTX. That was our first time going. It's the fifth or sixth year. This is.
I want to say it's the fifth.
And it was our first year. I was so excited to be there, and just all the cool stuff that was there. I got to play a few games that are have been in development for a while. Song of the Deep, a new puzzle platformer by Ubisoft. Mm-hmm. Got to do a lot of Halo Warzone at the 343
booth.
Did
you ever get around to playing Halo Wars 2?
I did not.
I didn't sadly. Either. I didn't. I wasn't. There were so many different things I wanted to go see there that it was hard to. It definitely makes me want to like get the VIP badge next for next year, just mm-hmm. because you get instant access into all the panels, so you don't have to sit in line for hours on end.
Yeah.
For most of the con.
The only reason I didn't play Halo Wars 2 is I played a lot of the demo.
Right.
When it was on.
I was curious to see if it was like the same thing or not, or if it was actually
it was
like
a
better
cleaner.
Version.
I did watch people play it, but one of the big things that 343 showed a brand new trailer for Halo Wars 2 at the convention, and it hasn't come out for the public, so I won't say anything yet, or at least I haven't seen it on YouTube or anything, but it shows Commander Cutter, it shows Dr. Ellen, it shows the Covenant's still the primary antagonist, and it's been a 28-year time skip between the first game and the second game. And it, just imagine coming out of that cryo sleep and literally realize the same war has been going on, but for different reasons.
You think Master Chief had it bad? That's just a whole new level of what the fuck happened.
Oh, yeah. And it does show the setting for the story, too. So
to kind of tie that to comics, it's almost like the whole Batman Beyond thing with Tim Drake being in the future where he sees all of his old friends super old.
Yeah.
It's like that same scenario.
So great. But RTX is so much fun. Is there anything you wanted to talk about with it?
Mainly, it was my first, or I guess technically my second, like non-Comic-Con experience. I've been to NDK before, but that's anime conventions always seem to me like one giant party for the most part.
NDK is an anime convention here in Denver. For anyone who doesn't know.
I think they have one in Florida too, or something. I don't know.
Non-Desucon.
Yeah, but yeah, it was just a different feel because you go there and everybody is a fan of Rooster Teeth in some way. Like, it was a little weird. Like, we both ran into instances where people, like, only knew one thing of Rooster Teeth. Like, there was this guy who only knew Red versus Blue stuff that I ran into. And then there were other people who were like, oh, yeah, I've only watched, like, the first season of Ruby. It's just like, man, it's like, even though they've only seen one thing, you can at least have a conversation with them about that same thing.
Yeah, and going along with that, it shows I've only gone to comic convention. So, you know, when I walked into the expo hall for the first time, because I waited in line for 4 hours, I was like, wow, this seems a little small. And you're like, oh yeah, this is your non comic convention. Yeah. I'm used to like comic dealers every square foot.
No, this time there was like, here's a bunch of gaming booths. Here's like a bunch of demos you can play and try out.
I'm excited for Song of the Deep.
I didn't get a chance to play that. It looked pretty cool.
I also played a gigantic Brawlhalla. There's one more. I think it was over at the
Butt Sniffing Pugs.
I played Butt Sniffing Pugs, which is you play as a pug and you have a large tennis ball about the size of your head, and that's how you move around, and then there's like a little pug butt sticking out of the arcade cabinet, and you have to hit the butt to steal another pug's powers. And like, there's certain objectives you need to do.
Ridiculous.
It's so entertaining, but it would not work outside of like an arcade cabinet setup.
Yeah, like that controller is specifically designed for that game.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I was telling you, I'm like, we should go, even though the Austin heat was just insane.
Oh, we've been wanting to go for years. It's like, hey, we both have money now. We both have jobs. We can do it.
Oh, yeah.
This will be our third convention this year. And I'm even making a fourth one for me. I'm going to New York Comic Con in October.
Yeah, maybe we'll have shirts by then.
Yeah, maybe. I was thinking about that. My dad was talking to me. He was like, oh, you should be telling people about your podcast while you're there. I'm like, probably should be. A shirt would probably be actually pretty good.
Yeah, I was telling a few people at RTX about our podcast. They're not comic people, but they're like, oh yeah, that's so cool, you know, because Rooster Teeth as a whole has been like this crazy realm of creativity. Literally, I was watching the Ruby Volume 3 just like behind the scenes commentary stuff, and the two showrunners were talking about, it's like, yeah, this would be a really fun thing, and then it turned into just being one of the most prominent properties at Rooster Teeth, other than like the whole
game. Yeah, I feel like I almost feel like Ruby has overtaken Red versus Blue as their most well-known icon now.
It's just different audiences for different people. Like, yeah. Me mostly, I try to absorb all of the content.
There's just so much now that I've gone to pick and choose things, and I usually listen to it while I'm cooking dinner or something. But yeah, it's just they produce so much now. It's like there's literally something there for everybody at this point, I feel.
Yeah, a lot of different audiences and a lot of different things you can take a part in.
Mm-hmm.
RTX was tons of fun. If you met two guys named Zach that are hanging out with each other the entire time, that's probably us.
Yeah.
It was funny, just every time we went to a hotel or dinner, it was like, hey, I'm Zach. And it's like, is this person also Zach? And it's like, yeah, we're friends and we were roommates for a while. And it's like, that's a little weird. And it's like, whatever.
We got over it.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny though. They're like, yeah, we're expecting like 65,000 people this weekend. It's gonna be crazy. I'm just like, Denver had over 100,000.
Oh yeah.
It was like, it was nice that it was like a smaller, it was big for them, but it was small enough for us. We're just like, all right, this is too bad.
It felt smaller because most of the time, like those giant panel rooms that would hold like the Ruby panel I went to was like 4,000.
All the big ballroom.
Yeah,
ones.
So all the ballrooms had like
the podcast had like
people or 500.
I think it had like 5,000.
It was the same hall.
Thousand.
Yeah. And I'm like, all right, this is the perfect time to walk around and like find merch. So yeah.
I mean, even like the expo hall was like, it was really easy to move around. It was actually really nice. Aside from like that one little area by the merch, like the main merch table and the food, it was like, aside from that, like if you stayed away from that, it was pretty easy to get through everything.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Which was nice. But yeah.
Comics.
So there was stuff that went on during the weekend while we were in Austin. I was trying to keep up with some of it.
Yeah, I was pulling up Reddit every so often.
So Marvel's now officially confirmed that after Civil War, the Marvel Now event is going to begin. And it's called, and their tagline is Divided We Stand. So all those teaser images we saw with a bunch of the characters shattered and another character below them, that's kind of, I guess, showing like the main focus for this whole Divided We Stand thing that they're going with.
It was weird because they put some pretty prominent characters with a bunch of C-listers. Like we had the mercs from Deadpool with like Jessica Jones or another character. And Divided We Stand is weird because it can mean so many different things. And we actually, Marvel, I think, released like a puzzle piece out to the internet, and people spent like the entire week putting these things together. And it shows the two major groups where we have some like of the older classic heroes versus the legacy characters, or at least the younger people.
Right. I mean, it, definitely for like between the two of them, like a lot of the old legacy characters, like you see Odinson, who looks like he's Thor again. You have Elektra.
He looks like the Ultimate Thor.
Yeah, he looks a lot like the Ultimate Thor. You have She-Hulk. She-Hulk's back. Wait,
she's alive.
Is that She-Hulk or Gamora?
I think that's She-Hulk.
It's kind of hard to tell because she has two swords.
Huh. I didn't notice that.
It kind of makes me want to say that's Gamora, but at the same time, she looks exactly like She-Hulk.
Right.
So maybe She-Hulk will have swords now. Who knows?
She can't punch. She can only stab.
She can stab now. You got Maria Hill, still looks like Commander
Shield.
That's
not Maria Hill.
That's not Maria? Is that Roz?
That's Daisy.
Who the hell is Daisy?
She's an Inhuman that works for S.H.I.E.L.D. She's Sky in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay. Jessica Jones, Black Panther. We see Dr. Doom holding the Iron Man hammer again. Cable looks like he's going to be a big character. You got Slapstick in the back and three other characters I don't even know.
I think those are all the mercs.
Yeah, probably.
Because I know they want to bring a Negasonic Teenage Warhead into the comics again after the success of the Deadpool movie.
Right. And then on the other side, you got Kamala Khan. You got Doctor Strange. I think it looks like Kate Bishop there.
Yeah.
So hopefully a new Hawkeye comic. You have Baron Von Zemo in the back for some reason. Miss America, which that could be pretty cool if there's like a new Young Avengers team.
Mm-hmm.
You got Miles, it looks like the new Wasp that was just revealed, new War Machine,
daughter,
Squirrel Girl, and then Gwenpool. They really want to push Gwenpool.
I mean, she was really popular in marketing for a while. It was like the Bombshell movement where they did the Bombshell covers, right. And then someone was like, what if we turn this into a comic?
True.
And she's written by some really high class comedy guys, and I know she's appeared in Howard the Duck a few times.
Yeah, I think it was like her big first, not starring, but like her first big appearance was before her Zero issue. But yeah, apparently, so Alonzo, the Marvel editor Alonzo, I forget his first name, Axel Alonzo. He said, this is not an event, this is a status quo of the Marvel Universe in the aftermath of Civil War. So,
I was talking about this with Kayla. She hasn't been keeping up with comics lately, but I tell her a lot about Rebirth, and she's a little bit biased too, but she's like, it's weird that she, at least in her eyes, she's like, yeah, DC is just continuing to gain momentum, where it seems like Marvel's trying to find their footing now.
Yeah, which is, it's been a very rapid shift in who's been controlling, like, I feel like I predicted this in one of the early episodes. I'm like, I've at least said it like several times to you and other people. Like, I feel like in the next, at least this was like maybe a couple of years ago, but like in the next 5 years, like DC will overtake Marvel again.
Yeah.
And it seems like maybe this is finally the shift that's happening, even with Marvel's movie success.
Well, Marvel's done pretty decent marketing where, you know, they run everything with limited numbers. They don't climb as high as DC.
Right.
And then that way when they relaunch or like relaunch a title with a different team, people aren't going to be like, well, why should I read Hawkeye issue 25?
Right. I mean, I get that.
Understand 1 through 24. And but I mean, that's how they kept a lot of their marketing scheme up. Whereas DC now, it's like Rebirth, we're bringing back the status quo. So instead of it being like, oh yeah, we're just changing teams, it's more like we're bringing back what fans want,
mm-hmm.
more so than, let's make it easy for our readers.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's just, it seems like it's, everybody always bitches about, oh, DC's rebooting it. They rebooted, like, they had one hard reboot in the last 5 years. This is Marvel's second in the last year.
Well, it's not even a, it's not gonna, reboot.
But everything's going back to number one again.
It's relaunch. Reboot means that there's a change in the universe, or at least that's right. My opinion.
Okay, yeah, fair point.
So, I mean, after Secret Wars, I don't know if Marvel knew what they wanted. They wanted to bring characters into main continuity, right. And they wanted to tell different stories, but I don't think they knew what they wanted after that. Whereas like DC, Convergence, they had their move. So with Convergence, it was very much like, let's look at what people liked. Let's mm-hmm. bring back things. And then after the success of the side stories of Convergence, Rebirth came around, and that really got people excited. I mean, just the sheer fact that Rebirth by itself sold 300,000 copies. Batman
number one.
It's
going into fourth printing?
Yeah. Batman number one sold 300,000 copies, overtaking Black Panther, overtaking a lot of Marvel titles.
Overtaking Civil War.
Yeah. And it seems like DC right now has been really dominating the market, mm-hmm. because Marvel, I mean, Spider-Man sells, Star Wars sells, and then the number ones sell.
Yeah.
Whereas DC will at least have Batman, Harley Quinn every month. But right now it seems very apparent that people are really engaged with the new status quo of DC, whereas people have no idea what the hell's going on with Marvel.
I mean, yeah, like, it definitely seems like Marvel's definitely trying to restructure everything right now. Like, they lost so many big-name writers after Secret Wars, like, lost Hickman, Remender, Kelly Sue, Matt Fraction,
Kieran Gillen.
Like,
well, there's still a sting afloat with certain writers.
Yeah, I mean
Charles Soule's still there and a few others, but
Bendis is like the most consistent and most experienced writer they have now.
And Dan Slott.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it seems it was the same problem that you brought up where you are tired of seeing Marvel characters always fight each other, and I'm starting to experience that same fatigue.
It just bogs everything down. It's like, oh, does this mean one of my favorite books is going to go away if this X character gets beaten or something or dies?
And you know,
because we know they're going to come back eventually, but
yeah, it's very comic book syndrome. But even DC, if there is a crossover event, they will add other titles, or it'll only affect a certain number mm-hmm. of titles. Whereas for the next 3-4 months, I know there's going to be something about Civil War and everything that I read, which right. will be annoying, because I feel like it interrupts a character arc, or it interrupts yeah. what I want to know. Like right now, Jessica Jones just made an appearance at the end of mm-hmm. Spider-Man issue 5. I'm sure she will play whatever role that they need her in Civil War, but I want to see this interaction between Jess and Miles and not even think about the larger picture of Civil War right. happening.
The honestly, I think the best Civil War tie-in that's done, I guess, there's two that I've read that have done really well. The Ultimates one did really well because it was like, it was the viewpoint from the Ultimates side of right. when the shit hit the fan, of like Carol reliving everything. Like you get to see the thought process of all the characters of like, mm-hmm. okay, this is why we should, well, here's what happened. And then Kamala Khan's was just, and Miss Marvel was probably one of the best
with
just
yeah.
dealing with, oh, she's dealing, she has to, her hero is wants her to do something for her. And absolutely she wants to do it, but at the same time she's coming to realize that this doesn't seem right, and neither side really seems right.
And the same thing with the Spider-Man tie-in too, where it's very much Peter going, all right, I'm not going to do anything until I understand the situation. Until I see this dude pull out a gun and break down this door, I will not intervene.
Mm.
Which is very wise of him, because again, he's one of the most experienced heroes. One of the things I love about Peter Parker's character, he's been a hero since he was a teenager.
Yeah.
And he's grown from high school Peter Parker to I own a business Peter Parker, and he's able to impart his advice, and he's able to actually be someone who makes a difference in a larger picture.
Right.
And just going back to DC too, DC status quo is that the heroes will fight a little bit, they become friends, they move on. They're buddies.
Mm-hmm. There's always that conflict, but they know what the ultimate goal is.
Yeah, we see that right now with the new Superman.
Or the Green Arrow series, or what the birds back around the Birds of Prey looks exactly. like it's going to be.
And we understand that's how their heroes will interact, but it doesn't seem like, oh, here comes giant events, and we're going to put all of our books into this hold. Even the Bat books, when Scott Snyder was doing Court of Owls or Death of the Family, the Bat editors told the writers, you don't have to use this. You can tell the story if you want to, but we're not going to force every single book on our line to tell a 2 or 3 issue story about mm-hmm. them interacting with something. I mean, Darkseid War didn't do that.
Nope. Darkseid War was its own
contained. A self-contained story that led into Rebirth.
Yeah.
And again, I experience major fatigue with Marvel if that's what every single story is.
Right. And I mean, I think I mentioned this before, but I'm probably going to reevaluate my poll again when this whole Marvel Now thing is. Like, if there's a Kate Bishop Hawkeye book, awesome. I love Kate Bishop. I'm going to read that. I'm going to keep reading Miss Marvel because I love that. I'm probably going to keep reading Captain Marvel.
Right.
If there's a Jessica Jones solo title, I'll probably pick up that either, but I don't know. A lot of the team books I'm not really interested in anymore, which brings me to the next point that they also showed off the new U.S. Avengers, which is, it just looks too ridiculous to me.
It's the new Avengers. Al Ewing wrote the new Avengers, and now it's folding into the literal USA.
Red Hulk just looks just too ridiculous to me.
I actually love that design. It screams the 90s.
It does. It looks like he popped out of a Rob Liefeld book or something.
I just love his mustache.
Why
did Ross never have that mustache when he transformed before? I guess it would have ruined the reveal of who Red Hulk was when he first got introduced, but that mustache. Why does Hulk need to use guns, though?
Yeah, I think the guns is what took it over the top. It's like, all right, you could just easily swap that for, like, I don't know, like mini guns and make it like America.
Yeah, so Sunspot's leading the team and has Squirrel Girl, Red Hulk, and then like 4 other characters.
I have new no idea. Iron Patriot.
Is it confirmed?
A new Iron Patriot, Pod, Squirrel Girl, Cannonball. Don't know who the hell that is.
Cannonball's back.
Yeah, Cannonball. Yeah, Sunspot, Red Hulk, Cannibal, Iron Patriot, Pod, and Squirrel Girl. Oh, and Captain America from the future.
Right.
Which is Luke Cage and Jessica Jones' grown-up daughter.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
I forgot about that. But again, Marvel's relaunching a title. They're relaunching a book with a brand new title with the same creative team. And I just wonder what it means to be a U.S. Avenger. Is it right. like the Justice League of America?
Yeah, or it's like this built team to take down something.
Yeah, or is it like... Sorry, I'm messing with the cards right now. I need to do something with my hands. But or is it like they just name themselves that? Mm. Because, I mean, the JLA...
Squirrel Girl... I always thought Squirrel Girl was Canadian for some reason. I don't know why.
You think everyone's Canadian?
Maybe that's just like... Maybe this is the DC thing of like, oh, kind of the jokey characters are Canadian.
I think sometimes. Wolverine...
Yeah, Wolverine.
And Deadpool are Canadian. No, not Deadpool. Deadpool was in Canada for a while. But Wolverine is like the strict Canadian character.
I don't know why. I don't know why I thought that always, but... I don't know. It just seems... It just seems like such a weird team.
It's the same as the new Avengers, I mean. But I wonder what the shakeup is. Why do they rebrand?
Yeah, what causes? Did, like, half the other team die or something? Maybe it's probably something to do with this whole Ultron thing that's happening.
No, that's Uncanny Avengers.
No, I thought that was new Avengers.
Nope, Uncanny. Oh. Uncanny is led by Steve
Rogers.
Fuck
if I know that. Who knows? It just seems really weird.
With three different Avenger titles with all different heroes, it's kind of hard to keep up.
I mean, the new Iron Patriot, she looks like she's 15 or something.
Yeah. I don't know why they put... I love Squirrel Girl as a character.
Yeah, Squirrel Girl's
great.
But
why is she up front and center? That gives me the impression that she's leading them.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Yeah. Like you said, you know, Marvel, there's some things I really love. Like, I love all the Spider books, aside from, like, Web Warriors. Mm-hmm. That's a little too much for me. But... it makes me think what I really want to read from them in the future because, mm-hmm. you know, there's some books that have been doing awesome. I love Vision. That's going away after issue 12. Yep. Spider-Man books are pretty safe. But, yeah, that's literally all I read. Iron Man, I don't know what's going to happen there.
Yeah.
And supposedly we get Iron Man's mother this week in International Iron Man. You know, Gillen... in the first Marvel Now relaunch, he did that. He left his stamp on everything, mm-hmm. saying that Tony Stark's parents were never his biological parents, which some fans were kind of outraged about because that ruins that relationship where mom was an angel and Howard was a dick and Tony right. could never really be with him. And, I mean, the relationship still stands, but it adds like a new level to that.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, Tony was literally adopted in an orphanage, and then his brother Arno Stark was created with the help of aliens, you know. And I saw a really ridiculous article this week, people speculating who Tony Stark's parents are going to be because they really want to. Fans believe that they need it to be a well-established character already. And one of the most outrageous claims I've seen so far is that Black Widow is Tony Stark's mother. So, in the so remember...
They sterilized them, though, in the Red Room.
Yes.
That's like a whole part of her lore.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the whole deal with Black Widow, you know, canonically, she was born in the early 1900s. Or the 1930s.
Yeah, and during...
And she was drugged, she was drugged and enhanced so that she looks and remains
This is like
forever.
The very first iteration? Because I think they've changed the lore to she grew up in the Eastern Bloc and then went to Moscow and was trained in the Red Room from a very young age.
Okay, so
I think they've altered her backstory at this point.
So... You know, there's that impression, and then, oh, you know what? If Tony Stark's mom was Natasha, maybe her dad was Bucky, because he was in the Red Room, too. And, again, it's like one of those really outlandish claims, it won't necessarily ruin it for me. I would just be fine if Tony's mother was just some woman.
Mm-hmm. Because it just seems way too forced.
It seems forced if they do it with well-established characters.
Because they have to... What do you,
My ears are ringing. Sorry.
Oh. It looked like you saw something.
I felt like something the passed through back. One ear to another ear. I'm like, oh.
It is the ghosts.
Yeah. Cool. But, I mean, the relationship between Tony and Howard has always been really interesting because even the MCU really pumps that out. And I just think that the Tony and Natasha thing would be really gross because they were a couple.
Arguably, Natasha looks like she's still late 20s at most. Yeah.
So that's a whole thing.
Yeah.
So,
and again, it seems like they're trying to force like some sort of connection that doesn't need to be there for characters.
Right.
It's like they already have worked together multiple times. They don't need to be blood related.
Yeah. I just saw a ridiculous post. I don't know if it was on CCBE or one of these other Reddit news sites, but it's a picture of MCU Natasha standing in front of Iron Man from MCU also. It's like, stay away from my son. I'm like, that payoff would suck.
That would be awful.
Yeah.
There's just the fact that there just would have been no lead up to it. There's no mention of it until now.
He was like romantically interested in her in Iron Man too, so that'd be just gross.
Yeah.
One of the other cool things that's happening with Iron Man right now too is so right now Tony's off in Japan working undercover to expose someone, and Mary Jane is leading the company. So one of the nice things about a lot of these covers lately, Alex Ross did the newest cover that's coming out for Spider-Man, which is Mary Jane in the Iron Spider costume.
Which I'm all for.
And cool. I'm sitting there, I'm like, I know Bendis. Nothing on the cover ever happens in the book.
Yeah.
Except in the 5-page preview for this week, it shows Mary Jane digging through the
All the old
stuff in Tony's warehouse, and she finds the Iron Spider costume. And Jarvis is sitting there going like, but Miss Watson, you can't. And it's like,
oh my, the Iron Spider costume? Surely you can't too. It's not as crazy as it sounds. I actually wore an early version of the first Iron Man armor once. And during that Spider Island mess, I had spider powers for a while, so I got experience with both. I can totally do this.
I'm really interested to see how this goes. I like the way Bendis writes Mary Jane, and I want to see...
She's actually like a competent...
Yeah, she's a competent female character who has a strong writer attached to her.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to see where the lead off or the payoff comes from this. Will Mary Jane get her own book where she becomes a superhero?
I actually might read that if she like kept the Iron Spider suit.
Yeah. Or will Mary Jane, I don't know, will she go back to being Tony Stark's assistant after this whole thing?
I don't know. It looks cool. The face she has in that like retelling, though, is just like, I've seen some shit.
She truly has. She has dated Spider-Man.
Yeah.
She's gone through
so it's weird. I find it kind of weird that she remember which Spider Island thing is she referring? Is she referring to the original
Not
Spider
Super Wars?
So the
Spider
original.
Spider Island was by Dan Slott.
Okay.
Yeah.
That just seems kind of weird that a lot of them still remember all these past events, even though it was supposed to be a reboot of the whole universe.
Well, they retain their memories. It's just like some characters have just slipped in now, like Miles.
Right.
His entire family, his entire supporting cast have slipped into this universe. And I think only Miles is aware of that because Molecule Man is like, I owe you, kid.
Yeah. Thanks for the cheeseburger.
And again, the entire world knows the Fantastic Four is missing.
Mm-hmm. And it's good point.
So, I mean, there was literally an issue of Spider-Man where Human Torch is just pissed.
Does it also bug you that they made a big deal about it's been 8 months since everything came back and then, like, all this shit happened that we were expecting to see?
Have I told you my theory for Death of X?
No.
My theory for Death of X, it's been, like, a Marvel promotional tool lately. It's been a bunch of variant covers.
Mm-hmm.
My theory is that Death of X is actually going back to what happened after Secret Wars, and it tells us how Cyclops died.
So all the shit
rather than a new X-Men character dying.
Okay.
I really want to see Cyclops go to war against the Inhumans.
I want to see how fucked up he realizes he just made himself.
Well, he did that. I loaned you Ultimate 600, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Uncanny 600, whatever one.
I mean, I see him smile, like, uniting the mutants, and then... He's like, he's
how can he go to that from uniting all the mutants on Capitol Hill to he's gone? And all the characters heavily imply that he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's weird to see the state of the Marvel Universe. I mean, DC did the same thing with 1 year later.
Yeah.
Which was a mess because Nightwing proposed to Barbara at the end of the Nightwing Annual 2. And then 1 year later, they're not engaged. They're on some kind of edgy terms. I'm like, yeah. What the hell? Just give the fans what they want.
Give us the ship. Just let it happen.
Pull another Dick Grayson from another universe. Give him to Corey. Let the main Dick Grayson stay with Barbara, please.
So, you know who? What's also another world's finest couple?
The best characters ever. My favorite Wildstorm characters.
I'm on top of these segues today.
I know, dude.
It's
freaking.
It's like the one thing I can do.
We were standing in. No, where were we? It was when I got my new phone. Were we at RTX yet?
I think we might have been at the airport.
Okay, we were at the airport, and I hit you. Literally just straight up punched you in the arm, saying, Midnighter's coming back. It's literally called Midnighter and Apollo. That means they're gay, they're back, and Steve Orlando's writing them for 6 more issues. God, I love Midnighter so much.
And it's coming out in October.
A wonderful character. And so I've told you, and I've told a few people, you know, all these diverse characters are amazing, but my problem with Marvel is that their diverse characters are on team books. Their diverse characters don't have a main presence.
They're kind of getting away from it now.
A little bit.
Miss Marvel, Miles.
Okay, and that's racially diverse. Like, their LGBTQ plus characters do not have a solo book. Where is North Star after Marvel making a huge deal about him getting married in the comic 2-3 years ago? Mm-hmm. Where is... Okay, Deadpool still makes a bunch of checking out that guy's ass jokes everywhere. But Midnighter is one of those characters that DC pulled from the Wildstorm universe. You know, he was in Stormwatch in the New 52 before that got canned. He came back in the DCU as his own solo title where his character arc even largely played on the fact that he was a gay male. And yeah, sure, he makes the dick jokes. Sure, he makes the Dick Grayson jokes. Sure, he makes butt jokes. But a lot of his character very much involved him as a gay man trying to find a comfortable relationship or him trying to do something.
And if you think about it, that book came out, what, the mid-90s? Like
Stormwatch,
When there was still a lot of tension between the whole LGBT community.
Yeah, and
back in that time.
Wildstorm, I mean, back before the New 52 relaunch, he and Apollo were together. They adopted a kid. And, you know, people were begging Steve Orlando on Twitter. It's like, please bring back their child. Mm-hmm. And Steve Orlando's like, you'll see more characters pop up. But again, even now, more than ever, having this lead character who is openly gay is very important. Even I was telling you, as much as I love seeing Midnighter pop up in Nightwing time to time, he doesn't deserve that. He needs his own space to roam.
Right. And I know it's a very similar situation to how people were very upset when they heard that Alicia Yeo, the trans female character in Batgirl that Gail Simone created, is kind of going to be put on the back burner for a while since she's with the new Batgirl series, since Barbara's going to East Asia travel.
It's very much the fact that it's like, we want to see representation. You know, I'm all for it. I love seeing all these new diverse things. And at the same time, it's like, yeah, you know, sometimes you do need to put these characters on the back burner, but you need to be open about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, Batwoman, she's back, but she doesn't have a solo title.
No. It makes me a little sad. Yeah. I want her to have her own solo title.
Maggie Sawyer is living in Metropolis again. So what happened to Kate and Maggie between... I stopped reading Batwoman after J.H. Williams and the other guy left. So I don't know what happened. But why is Maggie back in Metropolis? Where's Kate?
Well, we know where Kate is, but...
Well, what happened?
True.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm just really excited for Midnighter to come back, even if it's a 6-issue series.
Yeah. I mean, it could be one of those things that they extend it to an ongoing if it does well.
Yeah.
It's always that thing of DC's definitely been doing that recently. I was like, all right, here's a new limited series. If it does well, we'll use the character somewhere else at least.
Yeah. God, I love Midnighter, though. He's such a fantastic character. And, you know, just him discovering himself as a human being for Orlando's DCU arc was just phenomenal.
Yeah. Good old scary gay Batman.
Yeah, big old scary gay Batman. The world's finest power couple.
Yeah. So, I think you told me this while we were at RTX 2, but Tom Felton is being added as a series regular to The Flash, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I just thought about, like, how many, if they really wanted to, how many times they could fit a Harry Potter joke.
Yeah. Alan.
Yeah, just going down the stairs. Alan, where's Flash?
Yeah, since he's supposed to be, what do they label his character as? Oh, he's questioning Barry's good guy reputation.
Yeah, is Barry really?
He's the antagonist. He's pretty much like, it seems like he's the new Eddie.
Yeah. What if he just came back? What if we get Eddie back?
It could happen.
Yeah.
Everything could be good.
See, I wonder if he's going to stay good, though.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we really will have to see. Because they've is Flashpoint.
Well, seasons 1 and 2 have given us characters who were series regulars. We thought they were good guys the entire time, and then they became assholes. Season 1, our favorite game was What Is Wells Up To Now? Season 2.
What is Wells doing this week?
I mean, they do a really good job at turning the characters around, like giving us a decent twist to, oh my God, Jay Garrick was Zoom all along, or Wells was Eobard Thawne, and they explain it really well. So it'll be cool. And I know Stephen Amell, he was asked at a convention recently whether or not Flashpoint will affect Arrow.
Yeah.
He just said sure. He had no idea.
This is the same thing with the goatee. It's like, you will never see the goatee, and then there's promo art of him with a goatee.
Yeah. And I think they start filming tomorrow for Arrow at least. So
it's coming back in October, so it's getting there.
Everything's coming back in the fall block.
Yep.
So it'll be cool. I'm really excited to see what they do. I kind of hope they don't do another Speedster.
Yeah, I really hope not. I would kill to see like Mirror Master show up.
Yeah, Rogue War.
Yeah, we need a Rogue War.
At least Flashpoint really gives Berlanti and everyone else working on the CW universe a good way to bring back characters. So we can see Captain Cold, who got killed off in Legends. We can see maybe even Laurel come back, because killing off a character for Manx was such a waste of opportunity.
After she finally was not just annoying.
I'd rather they put her on a bus. Send her somewhere else to be...
The Roy effect.
Yeah, put her somewhere else.
Because at least they can come back.
Yeah, exactly. They can come back for something. My phone's ringing. Hang on.
And we're waiting. Zach's checking his phone. Bet you was wondering if you're still up there.
Yeah.
Anyway. So one other piece of like TV movie news is that the Harley Quinn, they keep saying that there's going to be a Harley Quinn movie they've said that it's in development, and now there's a report going around that the Batgirl and the Birds of Prey are going to be in it as well. So I'm really hoping for like maybe a Gotham City Sirens versus the Birds of Prey movie, because I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it would give the characters a really cool goal.
Yeah, since the Gotham City Sirens are always the anti-hero chaos squad, essentially.
I like that.
Chaos squad.
Yeah, with a K.
Yes. Because, I mean,
it's Harley.
Yeah, it'd be cool. It'd also be a good way to bring in a lot of those characters like Poison Ivy, Catwoman, like all before the Batman movie.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be a really
cool. People know who they are, too. So you don't have to spend time telling their origin story.
Yeah.
Bruce Wayne's parents got shot in an alley. You know, he's Batman. He got levitated by bats.
You know, some weird fever dream.
Yes, Father, I shall become the bat.
But yeah, I mean, it'd be cool. Like maybe Harley Quinn, like, tries to pull some heist, Catwoman runs into her, and then Poison Ivy gets roped into it somehow, too.
Yeah, it's...
And then the Birds of Prey are just chasing them down the whole time.
Yeah, what was it recently? It was Grayson, this annual that just came out where Harley's trying to do a heist to get something from the Joker or like one of Joker's chemicals or whatever to destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this would be a really awesome way to break Harley from the Joker. I've liked Harley so much more now that she's not Joker's sidekick.
Yeah, I mean, it even seems like she's, especially in the Suicide, just all the Suicide Squad promos, it seems like they're very detached already from each other.
I hope they pull the scene from Harley Quinn.
The jail cell.
Yeah, where she goes in and just beats the hell out of him in the jail cell and like bites his lip off. Mm-hmm. That would just be so satisfying.
It would be. Or did she just beats him in the face with a bat or something?
I have a lot of students that like Harley, and she's like, "Yeah, I'm a lot of people like Harley." I'm like, "All right, insert student here, and let me tell you,
About an abusive relationship."
Yeah, Harley Quinn and Joker aren't really that great. If you want to look at something great, look at Harley by herself. Like, you should go read the new Harley Quinn series that just came out instead of something like Mad Love or Granted, these
or go read the Gotham City Sirens.
Because that's for that.
Yeah, but it's such a great book.
Yeah, I would not show that to 12-year-olds.
Yeah, fair point.
I do not take my comics out in front of my students. What are you reading, Midnighter? Did you just break that man's arm in half? Yeah.
What are you reading, Sex Criminal? Never mind. Saga? Oh, no. Shit. No, there's a tit. No, go away.
I mean, the cover of the deluxe edition is.
It took me forever to figure out what that was, too.
You're like, yeah, it's the moon. I'm like, no, it's the baby sucking on his mom's tit.
It's like, oh. Yeah. Well, then.
I will not tell my students to read Saga. What do you want?
Wait till you're older. You should read Saga when you're 18.
Here's American Born Chinese. Great series. Scott Pilgrim. Ding. You can do that one, too.
There you go.
I should get a class set of Scott Pilgrim. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
So, I mean, the last thing I wrote... Oh, there were three things left I had on my list.
Okay.
This one, I mean, we kind of touched on it, but DC Rebirth continues to smash Marvel. In the top 25 Vance reorder comics, let's see, you got Justice League, Batman 3, Batgirl and the Birds of Prey, Superman, Hellblazer, Green Arrow... The first Marvel book is Black Panther, number one, third printing on the reorders.
Wow. Yeah. It's kind of crazy, too, that some of these books haven't even come out, and people are going crazy.
They're already just smashing.
I actually saw a Batman second print today for Rebirth. It was red.
Ooh. But yeah, we talked about this before, but it's like DC's just on a super high right now.
Yeah,
like it's gonna be interesting to see how well they ride this wave.
And it's not even fans collecting them for like material value.
I mean, there still are those.
There still are a few guys who are like, "Can variants. I buy 5 copies of Batman number one?"
No, you can't, sir.
No, you can't because there won't be any left for anyone else. And then he comes back the next day with a mustache or something. But, you know, it's very much people are just really excited by these new stories.
Yeah.
If you told me Green Arrow would sell 90,000 copies, I would call you
call you crazy, and I've been reading the book for over a year.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so cool to see people are engaged in these stories, and they do just enough to get people excited. Like, I was telling you, we were at RTX or the hotel or something, and I'm like, holy crap, Reddit figured out the villain for the Batman comic.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, what?
How? And you're like, from one line.
One line. And it was, what was it? Something about clocks. And you're like, oh, yeah, Clock King. I'm like, no, it's Hugo Strange. And he apparently said this in, like, another Batman issue one that came out many millennia ago. And you're like, okay, that's, like, Morrison-level thinking.
It's like Morrison plus Tom King right there. Because Tom King loves that whole just a roundabout story. Kinda.
Oh, yeah. Grayson freaking...
Loves to take you on a ride.
Grayson, like, issue 8, basically being a retelling of Robin Dies at Dawn was one of my favorite issues ever. Just love that. Or, yeah. You know, Tom King can't do any wrong right now.
He's just doing so well right now.
Yeah.
How long has he been a writer at this point?
I have no idea.
It can't be long.
He wrote Godzilla back in 2000 for IDW.
Go, go, Godzilla.
But I think, I think Grayson was like his first big step into DC, and then Vision and everything else.
Now exclusive contract.
Yeah. Sheriffs of Babylon, dude. That's been pretty high, too. Ever since he got signed up, people are really digging that series, especially since it's so reflective of our world today. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Tom King was a CIA agent in the Middle East who can't tell you what he did.
But he'll put his... It's, I wonder how much of, like, his storytelling is, like, based on actual experiences, but we just don't know.
He was actually the one riding on top of a plane with two jump jets attached. Tim Seeley, do you think DC would be proud? Do you think Dan Didio and Jim Lee would be happy? Yes, Tom. And then Scott Snyder flies in and carries the plane. Tom, we have a mission for you.
We need fan art of this right now. We need this whole sequence just illustrated for us.
I mean, this isn't as bad as our Titanic hotel.
On the way back from the airport yesterday, you saw cranes.
Yeah, you were telling me they were building a resort. And I'm like, would it be cool if they put like a giant
shipwreck
ship just like in the middle of this empty field and then we just put like took a swimming it to pool around it?
Joel, come to the Titanic resort. It's like half the Titanic just on its side, like sinking.
Here you can see Leonardo DiCaprio handcuffed. Is he acting? No, that water's really cold. He does this all day.
How long is he here? All the time.
All right, now I really need to see like Tom King. Hold on. Yes. Actually, I think it'd be better if Jim Lee and Dan Didio were Gotham and Gotham Girl.
Oh my god!
Holding up the plane, and then Snyder's
Alfred.
No, Tim Seeley's still Alfred. Scott Snyder would be the Waynes. It would just be Scott and then Greg with like a wig. Do you think they would be proud?
Absolutely.
Michael Yannon would be Duke.
Yeah. Oh my god, I just even want to Photoshop this now. Just like have like a transparent Scott Snyder on the painting just watching over it. Oh, you gave me a terrible idea to do this week now.
Well, yeah, Photoshop. Yep. If you get bored at work,
there you go. Oh man, derail. There's another derail.
Well, we haven't got anyone's name wrong yet.
Yeah, we've been doing pretty good this week. So, two more things. Yeah, I know you're tired. I know, I'm tired.
If you want to expedite something, we're going to go for it.
I mean, this is to no surprise. Cap's back to being a good guy. It was all a ruse.
Who?
Cap?
Steve. Oh, Cap.
Cap.
With a P. Yeah, not Steve Cat. Rogers. I thought you said cat. I'm like, what?
Meow. No, Cap.
Like Black Cat?
Yes, Black
She's
Cat.
She's still a bad guy. What are you talking about?
But
Captain America.
Issue it's, two.
It's as if Nick Spencer planned
a whole
the entire story arc back in Avengers standoff months ago.
Yep. But yeah, the exact thing that I'm pretty sure we predicted it is like Kobiak implanted the memories of that Red Skull wanted, and Red Skull's been playing him this whole time.
Again, it's like a writer has planned out the entire thing. Actually, Nick Spencer did like an AMA on Reddit the other day, and someone asked him, it's like, you really do these like not even like a long-winded or not even like a long scale payoff, but like you plan something like really minuscule details and then they play a larger role later, and it's like, well, yeah, I'm a writer. It's like someone says, like, do you storyboard or anything? It's like, I like sticky notes. And then everything else is
the
in my
wall
head.
Sticky notes.
Can you just imagine his brain just trying to figure out Morning Glories?
I wonder if he even knows how it's going to end.
He says it's 100 issues. That's what he has planned. And we're at 50.
Halfway there, man. But yeah, I mean, everybody's still upset. Like, I saw Tumblr's is very bad for the most part on like when things like this happen, because they think it's just, oh, it's just doing it for shock value. And like, I saw a thing where you're like, no, don't get back on Captain America. It betrays the character. I'm just like, it's a story.
My favorite comment was from Dan Slott and Nick Spencer. Dan Slott's like praising Nick Spencer for sticking to his guns, and Nick Spencer is like, if this were shock value, you would have heard it a month ago before Rebirth even came out. And that would have been everything people were talking about. And Captain America 1 would have been sold out. It's still sold out, thanks to literal news outlets reporting. But, I mean, he planned it. I mean, there is no other way to get around that. And even I was upset for like a day, and I moved on because I have no control over these things.
Yeah, and again, it was one issue in an entire story, which obviously, and even the solicits are like, Steve's going to fight Hydra. Like
issue 4.
Yeah, issue 4.
Yeah.
It's like, it's no surprise that this happened, but people are still just upset about it.
Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah.
Steve is the only one between like the three of us that regularly talk on the show that reads Captain America. So
yeah.
I mean, there's, I sent Zach like a 2 or 3 page scan, I think, of the whole Red Hood reveal, him telling someone about everything. It's like, yes, I did this. Ha, Captain America.
I planted the seed.
Yes. I set the foundation. Yeah. That was the line in Standoff.
Yeah.
I want to create one line like that, like literal page one of a book, and then have it pay off 300 pages.
Later. Right.
And people are like, oh, that's what they meant when they could have been brothers. They were actually twins all along. That payoff would be horrible.
This is just a completely random thought, but I've been Game of Thrones season 6 just ended. If you're not watching the show, it's absolutely amazing this season. But this season especially was like, almost every like epic scene ended with like some really cool one-liner. It was just like, I started noticing it a bunch. I'm just like,
the scene seems to get dethroned.
More or less, but it was like, it applies to the scene itself, but it was like, some of them were like real, this really heartfelt, like
it's the last thing you'll ever see is a Stark. That was my favorite.
Yeah, that one's pretty, that was a really good one. One of my favorites was Jon Snow, after he's been revived, Ser Davos is talking to him, and he's just like, Jon's like, I failed them. And Ser Davos is like, good, now go fail again.
Yeah.
And just like, God, it's such a great line.
Yeah, my girlfriend verbally boycotted Game of Thrones through season 5 for a lot of it, but she's
season 5 was
loved nice. Season 6.
It was so great.
She hasn't watched the finale yet, but you know, everyone spoiled everything anyways. Thanks, internet. Shout out to Cersei Lannister with the
play the game.
Play the game. We play a lot of Overwatch, and I found a gif of Cersei just blowing up the church or whatever it was.
I think it was the right keep.
Hey,
I'm one of the places.
Remember the segment Zach explains Game of Thrones with no context? Oh, yeah. She blows up everything. She got a team kill, killed all of the enemy players, and then Tommen just said,
just
GG
jumps
off. Rage quit the game. Yep.
All right, so before we go to our picks, you've been wanting to talk about this for weeks now. You keep forgetting about it.
Oh, yeah, My Little Pony?
Yes, My Little Pony.
Yeah, My Little Pony.
If they were devils.
Yeah. Dude, Preacher Pie, just insane. Preacher Pie is like a demonic horse, kind of like Lucifer here in Denver. Has a cross on her bottom right leg. I think that's where the cutie mark is. That has like wild silver hair.
I'm a little concerned that you know all this.
I work with children.
Fair point. I'll allow it. But yeah, Preacher, how was it? I'm not watching it.
Love Preacher. It's... So I don't watch that much TV during the summer because everything that I watch is off air. So I read a lot, but Preacher has been like the one thing that I come back to. Preacher is by Warren Ellis. I want to say it's Warren Ellis.
I think that's right.
It's either Warren Ellis or Garth Ennis. I always get the two of them confused.
I'll fact check it real quick.
Preacher, those of you, it's like 5 episodes in now. And, basically a priest who his father was a preacher before
Garth Ennis.
Garth Ennis, okay. His father was a preacher before him, and he was killed because, according to the story, the priest ran away with some dude's daughter, got together, had Jesse. The guy hired a bunch of mercenaries to get him, killed him in front of him, killed his mom in front of him, and then Jesse became like a crook. But Jesse's father told him that all Custers were good men. So that's what Jesse wants to do. He wants to be a good man. He wants to save the town that he lives in. And he's just about to give up in the first episode when Genesis, the freaking hellspawn angelic force of a demon, the consummation of a demon and an angel comes into him, and he's been the only host to properly take in Genesis. They've at the beginning of the episode, it flew into a priest in Africa and he blew up. It flew into Tom Cruise and he blew up. We didn't see that. It was a news report. But you know, Jesse has the powers of the Genesis, which is like the power of speech and command. So he can tell someone, literally tell her the truth, be brave, open your heart. And
isn't that like his one line is open your heart? Isn't that like
it's a payoff for the first episode. Okay. I don't want to say anything, but it's just this really cool thing. And he has like that power of command. So he has to be really careful what he tells.
It's like, it's like Kilgrave and Jessica Jones, except he's not trying to use it for his own gain.
And I think it was episode 3 or 4. But there's a man that's trying to kill Jesse. You know, Jesse fought him in a bar, broke his arm. And so the man comes up to him in a bathroom with a gun. And Jesse's like, put the gun down. Sit down. Put the gun in your mouth. And it's like, holy shit.
He's about to go off the deep end.
It was so good. But
do you think that the spirit's actually like corrupting him over time?
I don't think so. Because Jesse, his entire persona was he was a crook. He was a criminal, mm-hmm. and he wants to do good.
Right. So it's maybe just those old reactionary.
Yeah, and he, spoiler alert, he doesn't kill the guy. He tells the guy to leave, and the guy does so. And they were out, him and Tulip, we're going to go kill the guy that betrayed them when they were crooks. And Jesse just went, I can't do that. That's not who I am anymore.
Is this in the South?
It's in Texas.
Oh, God.
It's so good. Dominic Cooper, who played Howard Stark, is Jesse.
Oh, wow.
So great. I read the first couple issues of Preacher while I was out at Barnes & Noble. They just had all the trades out again. And it diverges really hardcore from the comic version, because in the comic, once Genesis possesses Jesse, his church blows up and kills everyone in the city.
Solid?
Yeah. And so obviously Jesse's mission... Jesse's mission is literally to find God, who is so scared of Genesis that he abandoned heaven.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's something very much Garth Ennis would write. And so far in the TV show, it's really just Jesse trying to do good in his town, redeem people. I'm only 4 or 5 episodes in. And it also features Cassidy, the Irish vampire, who... I love him. His whole thing, he's like a really hard party goer, and then he's on a plane, and the people on the plane try and kill him.
Oh, yeah. Like, I heard about this scene.
And he fights them all off. He takes a wine bottle, shatters it, sticks it into a dude's chest, uncorks it, pulls the bottle down with the body, and the blood just comes out of the wine bottle. And I'm like, that is so badass.
That's so metal.
Yeah. So it's...
That's like American Vampire level. Right there.
Yeah, it's sheer horror factor. And I told my dad, I'm like, you need to watch this show. My dad typically doesn't watch any of the nerdy stuff. He doesn't like it. He's a very grounded person. But I came home one day and he was watching Preacher. And I'm like, Dad, I'm so proud of you. You're finally watching something nerdy.
Woo!
Thank you. Yeah, I really want to do... I can't wait to see how Preacher ends. It's only like halfway through the first season already got renewed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to see where it goes. Seriously, you need to watch it.
There's so many.
Go on the AMC website.
There's so many.
You don't have Game of Thrones anymore.
I know. I have Day 5, though.
Day 5 is only once a week.
Yeah, it's true.
There's no Flash, Arrow, or Legends.
I'll try to get around to it.
Yeah, so Preacher, guys, you should watch it. It's if my rattling days of I've been up since 5 a.m. rambles have not enticed you, Dominic Cooper alone is just so awesome as Jesse Custer. And just him trying to do good but not knowing how to do good is really cool. Human condition.
Boom.
Okay. So, picks of the week.
Yes.
I won.
I barely got to anything, but there were a few books I meant to get to, and I did.
You started last week, didn't you?
I think so.
All right, guys, I'm gonna be real with you. It's a Gotham character. It's a Gotham book. Grayson Annual 2 by
it was
Kelly and Lansig was such a cool read because
it kind of gives you hints of is this going to be the plot of Nightwing a little bit.
A little bit. So Jim Corrigan, the Spectre, brings Harley Quinn, Simon Baz, John Constantine, and Azrael all together to learn about the Man with the Face of Spirals. And each of them retell their story. And it's really cool because we get to see different aspects of who Dick Grayson is. We saw Dick Grayson, the captive. Or at least the sexy Dick Grayson with the vampires. Mm-hmm. We got to see Dick Grayson, the superhero, with
the gym. Dick Grayson, the gymnast.
Dick Grayson, the gymnast. Dick Grayson, the spy. Dick Grayson, the savior. And all these characters literally. So Jim Corrigan goes, "Do you all know who you found?"
Like, of course.
They all say, like, Dick Grayson. Dick Grayson. And it was just such a cool thing. It's like, oh, cool, this is a little snapshot story. Nope, Jim Corrigan is Dick Grayson and wipes their brain. And it takes place before the whole thing with Lansing and Kelly taking over after Tom King and everything, before Dick wants to take Spiral down. And it's just like a really cool moment because, again, you get to see a lot about what makes Dick Grayson so special in the DC universe. He, by far, is my favorite character. I will say he's the best Batman. He is probably not the best Robin, but he was the person who created what Robin meant and had other characters carry that out. So I'm really sad to see Grayson go, but I'm really excited to see where Dick Grayson goes into Nightwing.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, my favorite story of the bunch was the Harley Quinn story.
I really like the Harley Quinn one.
Where, you know, Dick is like, well, you're a bad guy. And Harley's like, no, I cut that off. I'm not that.
Ask Batman anymore. Yourself. He'll tell you.
Yeah. And that was actually like a Batman issue where Harley and Poison Ivy borrowed the Bat Boat.
Nice.
And they do something. I can't remember. It was something related to the Joker, I would assume. But, you know, it shows how much of a human, just the perfect human being Dick Grayson can be.
Yeah.
And my other thing was the Simon Baz story, where Simon's like, you just went toe-to-toe with the Furies. How are you alive? Yeah.
He's just like, oh, that was a Fury? Oh, okay.
I didn't know that. What's a Fury? I mean,
Dick
Grayson's such a cool
Constantine's character. Was just a funny story, too. This is like the fanfic scene of Dick Grayson being eaten sexily by vampires.
And Constantine's like, yeah, I'd jump him too. I'm glad that they continue to show Constantine as bi. Yeah. Also, speaking of Constantine, I know you have not watched any part of the show.
I have not. That's another show I didn't
watch. It is now streaming on CWC.
Yes.
Fans, if you love one of us, please watch Constantine on CWC. It's available on the computer. It's available on your Xbox or your PS4. Constantine, 13 episodes. There has never been a Blu-ray release for the series either.
They've said that they're never going to release a Blu-ray, which is stupid.
Yeah. And if you don't like Constantine,
you will.
There's something wrong with
you. You will.
Matt Ryan does such
if you like the Arrow episode with him in it, you will love the series.
And that was only like a smidge of who Constantine is. Matt Ryan is such a phenomenal actor. He also did the voice for Edward Kenway in Assassin's Creed. So if you liked kind of how that character acted, oh man, let me tell you about Constantine. Constantine was the basis for who's the character in Supernatural? Castiel?
Yeah, Castiel.
Yeah. So when Constantine got announced, Supernatural fans got pissed. They're like, oh, they're just copying Castiel. No, he was based on Constantine because CW and Warner Brothers wouldn't let them use Constantine for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Get your facts straight.
Boom.
Sorry. Constantine's so cool.
That's why I'm very excited for the new Hellblazer.
John was like, you're not going to read Hellblazer? I'm like, oh, no, yeah. I'm probably going to go to Hall of Justice this week and tell
him,
like, hey, can you
add that? Writing it?
No.
I can't remember.
It's Simon Oliver.
I think it's a new guy, yeah.
Yeah, Tynan wrote the old Constantine the Hellblazer with Wayne Doyle. Please bring back the Justice League Dark Universe, or at least the Magic Universe.
Two characters are going to be involved with it. Swamp. They keep bringing up all those characters up. Like, they brought Zatanna back in the Swamp Thing series. Like, there's a lot there they can do. So hopefully,
yeah, I mean, the first arc is them finding Abby. So yeah. I'm really excited. Freaking love Swamp Thing. Sorry, I'm done.
So yeah, I've talked about this book before, and it just continues to blow me away how awesome it is. But Mockingbird, issue 4 this week, it was the Mockingbird and Hawkeye issue because they were married at one point, and it was so fun. It's more Bobby just trying to figure out what her powers are. Apparently, it's like some virus that's affecting animals and like wiping them out across the planet. So she goes to these epidemic or all these mass extinction sites to investigate. She's like, so the same virus that's affecting me is in here. It's just really cool.
But they're dead. Why am I still
exactly
alive?
And there's that whole thing of like, is she dying? Is she not dying? Does she have superpowers? It's still like all up in the
why
air.
Why won't
right
S.H.I.E.L.D.
now.
Give her another S.H.I.E.L.D. pager card? They actually gave her a real pager. That was the first page.
She's reaching her limit of pagers she can have. She goes down to this like underwater base for these like eco terrorists.
Tim.
Yeah, Tim. And she even
was it Tim? Yeah, it was Tim.
She's like, so is this like a like another version of which AIM? Like, no, we're terrorists. We're scientist terrorists.
I'm just glad the book doesn't take itself
seriously. Yeah, and that's
seriously
my favorite part about the book is it's like an action spy movie almost.
All right, so
but it's also a comedy.
Your favorite part about Sex Criminals is all the asides with Fraction and Chip Starsky.
Yeah, and there's several of these in this
there's
one.
There's several where Clint and Bobby are at marriage counseling.
Yeah.
Are you trying to poison me? No.
My lips feel funny.
It was just so great.
Yeah, it's just it's such a fun issue. And then like the very end, she's like testing her like she's about to drown herself. She's like, I have to know what my limits are. And then she's like, so I'm not dead yet. So it adds more mystery to the whole series. It's just been a super fun book. She's like going through all these characters that have impacted her life or she's been involved with, like Clint she was married to. She had an issue with a past agent that she worked with. And it's just been
she had a relationship.
Yeah,
with.
It's just been a super fun book and it's just been so great.
Yeah, and Chelsea Kane and her art team seriously kill it week to week. I know we talk about like the same five books every day. My phone's ringing again.
But it's just like they've been so consistently good.
And I mean, even I try to like differentiate, but there's something that gets me so excited about these books that I just want to talk about them week to week with our audience or even with you. It's just so great.
Yeah. And that's how I feel about like Mockingbird and stuff. But yeah, that's going to do it for this episode of the Z2 podcast. I'm going to go finally rest. So I've got less garbage.
Yep. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook, Z2 Podcast, on Twitter at Z2 Podcast. You can Google and even Bing us now, and we show up.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
As Z2 Podcast.
For all those who've left us a review and rating on iTunes, thank you very much. And for those who haven't, please go do that. Help us out a little bit. We'd love to hear your feedback. And just an update, if you haven't seen our post yet, our comic book club, we picked a Dark Knight by Paul and Dini. And you have until July 18th before we talk about it. So if you want to send us a message to our Facebook page and or Twitter for what you think about the book, and we'll throw you into the discussion.
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear what other people think about it. There's a lot of stuff that I personally like, and we're so similar with name and mental capacity, except for Carol and Tony.
Yep.
We like a lot of the same stuff. Yeah, and I think that will do it. We love you guys. You are wonderful. Again, if you want to talk to us about anything, if you have any ideas for us, please feel free to send us a message or anything else. And we will see you next week when we are... Hang on, I got my super fight deck. When we are carrying a baby and our pinata. Boom.
There. No context.